Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Welcome back, Football Friday. Sal Capaccio to join us now on the West Hur Hotline. Will Sal be on the field for what could prove to be the first home win in this Bills-Saints series in 12 years? It's not like, ironically, there's been much of a Bills-Saints series because we've talked about it like all week. Most of what we've talked about with New Orleans, I even brought my ball in from the 83 Bills-Saints game.
Sal, you missed it. We were throwing the ball around in here.
We literally were. Oh.
You said 12 years. Is it 32 years?
Well, the Saints beat, I mean, for either team. The Saints beat the Bills.
Oh, the first win. Okay, yeah, you're right. The first home win for the Bills in 32 years. First home win for either team in 12.
Yeah, 42.
Got you.
Would be the Bills one. 1983 would be...
My God, you're right.
42 years ago. This ball is 42 years old.
My math wasn't even...
Boy, does it look it.
And I'm patting it to death right now. All the air is going to come out. Bulldog pointed out, I mean, he had to, that it's not really perfectly inflated.
Yeah.
But I want it this way. I mean, why do I need to perfectly inflate it? What am I going to do? Play catch with it out in the yard or something like that? No, I'm just not going to... It's a souvenir. So there.
Here's a thing you lose as you get to be a certain age, and your kids are the age. My kids are adults now. I don't even know if you can still walk into a sporting goods store and buy one of those needles. I would guess you can, because you still would have to inflate basketballs and footballs occasionally.
I want to say that Sal will know the answer to that.
You generally, I think you can, but I think it might be you have to buy it with like a ball. I have a couple of those,
right.
And they're from balls that we have recently.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've come with things recently.
They came with them. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but so I don't know. I'm sure you can. I don't remember specifically buying the needle, but I think it just because it came with the ball that we have.
You know what else? And I think this is probably the same size football that they use now. I'm not sure. Never anything I've really thought about. But like I have two more recent game balls, or even three, actually. We have three at home. And when I put one of those in my hands and imagine like throwing a pass downfield to a 20-yard pass. There's no way. Like my hands are just not big enough.
Yeah.
And so when they talk about Kenny Pickett and hand size, like it's easy to make fun of that, but average size guy out there, put an NFL ball in your hands and just like see how good a grip you can get on it.
Right.
Because for me, like forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Listen, I'm telling you, you're so right about that. Like I could throw a football pretty well, but man, you put an NFL ball in my hands just aren't big enough, and I just can't grip it well enough. Like, yeah, like normally a football that I would use, my friends, we play flag football, like I can throw a really good spiral, I can throw the ball, but man, once I put an NFL ball in my hands, it just changes everything about it. I have so much respect for these quarterbacks, and actually, like, I know people make fun of the hand size things when they get measured and all that. I'm telling you, it can matter for sure.
Saints over the Bills in 2013. Thad Lewis had the game that time, but since they've met twice, the Saints a blowout win here in 17, and the Bills an easy win Thanksgiving night there in 2021. Here, the Bills are massive 15.5-point favorites against the Saints. Are you worried about anything, Sal, other than the sort of randomness that can always happen?
I think that's it, just the randomness that you just never know. You never know when just... You go into a game and you just don't have your stuff and you make a couple mistakes. Things start to snowball. The other team makes a couple plays. Suddenly you find yourself down two scores and you're like, what just happened? And then now they kind of, you know, put it away a little bit by, you know, running the ball and running the time and you're pressing. So that's the biggest worry. Honestly, just like from team to team, the way these two teams are built, constructed, the talent on them. No, I guess I could say that I do think that Spencer Rattler has an ability to make some plays because he's an athlete, some athleticism there. But I just don't think overall for 60 minutes that should, you know, that should be able to hold up against the Bills and what they could do on offense as a response.
Right. I think, you know, I was listening. I mentioned this earlier. I like to listen on Fridays on my way in. Greg Cosell is on with Chris and Steve on One Bills Live. And I think very highly of Greg Cosell. So I like hearing him talk about, you know, the upcoming game. And he likes Rattler enough, like that he's, you know, he's got, there's arm talent there. There's an athlete there. And he's, you know, he's bold enough to take shots. I just have a very hard time seeing the Bills be sloppy enough. Like, I think they could even be a certain amount of sloppy and still win this game, maybe even comfortably. I just can't imagine them being off enough that yeah. the Saints are going to make be able to make enough plays that they'll get enough opportunities with short fields or whatever to take advantage of. I just have a very hard time seeing a way for the Saints to win this game.
Yeah, and you know, a great example would be the Ravens game, actually both the last two Ravens games, which is even if the Bills just play a really kind of more conservative game, which they did for three quarters pretty much against the Ravens, and then they did in the playoff game against the Ravens, you just wait for the Ravens to make a mistake. Otherwise, it's going to be a close game, and then when they do, you can kind of pounce. And that's really kind of what happened in both games, to be honest, right? But this isn't that. I don't think the Bills necessarily have to do that, and even if if the Bills do make mistakes, they could probably overcome them more than they could against, you know, a team like the Ravens. You know, the Dolphins even. That wound up being a 10-point game. But, you know, the Bills didn't make any mistakes. The Dolphins really didn't. And then they finally ultimately did towards the end. You know, if that's the way you're going to play it, you know, that can happen against the Saints. But if the Bills make a few mistakes against the Saints, you would hope that they'd have the ability to overcome it. And that could be on any side of the ball and special teams, where they were really, really bad last week, by the way, the Saints. And like, that could be something where you want to take advantage of to really help out both your offense and defense anyway.
Punt return, touchdown, blocked punt.
Yeah.
If not anything else in their loss to Seattle, which was over by the middle of the second quarter last week. Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. Well, this isn't exactly shocking given the Bills' schedule, the strength of it, the relative strengths and weaknesses of it, as we talked about all through the offseason. But they are weathering, Sal, the suspension losses, Hoyt, Ogunjobi. Mm-hmm. Now Oliver misses again. Milano misses again. We'll see what happens in this game. You know, uncertainty at safety, Trey White's injury. They've kind of been through a lot already on defense, and their numbers aren't great, but they're undefeated and a heavy favorite here.
Yeah, and obviously the numbers are taking a big hit a lot because of the first game against the Ravens. Since then, I'd say the only thing that really has kind of popped up has been third down defense against the Dolphins. They're very, very good against the Jets overall. They're actually really good against the Dolphins overall, except for third downs and third and longs. They held the Dolphins at 4.6 yards a play. They put them in a lot of third down situations, third and long, so that's good. But defensively against the Ravens, their numbers are a bit skewed. And yeah, I mean, that's still a number, and those are numbers that you don't want to see. There's no doubt about it, and you have to be better than that. But I think they feel good about where they are going on defense and where they can be. And, you know, you think about the guys that are out, like you said, Ed Oliver, Matt Milano. And when you get them back, they'll help. In the meantime, you have an opponent here, the Saints, that you don't think that they shouldn't be world beaters against you on defense, and you're getting your guys a little bit more opportunity to get some reps. Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, even Cole Bishop, who has played every snap so far, who's going to continue to do that, you hope. But this is an opportunity, again, get more reps for these guys while other guys are out. And then when Hoyt and Ogunjobi come back on the D-line, then you kind of figure that out. But in the meantime, I think the Bills take that approach, Mike, which is we've gotten through three games. We're getting guys reps. That's good. If everybody can kind of continue to stay healthy here, you know, we're getting kind of the best of both worlds. We're getting our guys back, yep, and we're getting guys, a lot of reps who need reps, who might we might need to count on as the season goes on.
Sal, I've not gone back and looked at the entire season so far. I know it's only three games, so it's not like it should be that taxing. But how notable do you think it is that Taron Johnson only played 66% of the snaps on defense last week against Miami? Right? I mean, I know Achan has killed them, but still, like, you think Miami, and it's more about, you know, it's not a power game that I'm really thinking about when you get into that, but yet, you know, they played with, I assume when Johnson's not there, that it's three linebackers. And I think the snap counts kind of line up that way. And that I wondered if they would do a little more of that this year with the changes they made on the staff, and they're blitzing more as well overall so far this season. What do you make of the, I don't know, changes, if that's not too strong, maybe tweaks to how they're playing defense?
I do think that it's been a conscious effort to be a little bit more base, but this is something we talked about going back in the offseason, that we thought they might do this because they started to do it a little bit more last year. They did it against the Ravens, and it's just the trend and the response to what's happening in the league, right? We've talked for many years about the league being cyclical, right? And we're going back to more of teams using a lot more 12 and 13 personnel. Bills use a lot of 13 personnel compared to the rest of the league, but there's a lot of data showing guys now, a lot of teams are using 12 personnel now a lot more. Teams have been incorporating fullbacks more. And I just think this is the response that you have to have. And the Bills have kind of said, you know, we need to make sure that we have the right people on the field. For Taron Johnson, that was last game, Shaq Thompson. So last game, the defense had 61 plays against the Miami Dolphins. Out of those 61, Taron Johnson played 40. That leaves 21. Shaq Thompson had 21 snaps. Mm-hmm. It literally was a one-for-one.
Right.
Every time he came out, Shaq Thompson went in. And all it is you're responding to what personnel the other team is putting on the field. And if they put an extra tight end, Shaq Thompson comes in. And for fans who want to kind of see this happen in real time, it's pretty cool, actually. So there's a member of the Bills staff who actually holds up numbers on the sidelines. You'll see that sometimes. He holds up these two big yellow signs, and it'll say 1-2 or 1-1. That's 11 personnel. Mm-hmm. That's 12 personnel. And when you see 12, that means two tight ends, and you'll see probably Taron Johnson run off the field. You'll see Shaq Thompson run on the field. That's just showing the defense what personnel it is so people know on the field if they're supposed to come off or not. And that's how it works. And the Bills have done this more this year. I expect them to keep doing it more. When they signed Shaq Thompson, at the time, I thought, I don't know, like maybe just see what he has, take a flyer on him. But heck, if he makes the team, maybe he's a big nickel guy. That's kind of what he's been. He's been a big nickel linebacker, a guy. He's been a safety, a linebacker. So he kind of gives you the ability to play in the box, but he can cover a little bit, right? He is older. I get it. Dorian Williams is the same way at times. Now, Shaq Thompson didn't play the first game. I think because he was active, but he didn't play because he was dealing with an injury. So I think Dorian Williams played a little bit more in that situation in three linebacker sets. But that's what they're doing, guys. And I'm not surprised, Bulldog, from that regard. Let's remember Taron Johnson's getting a little older as well, mm-hmm, right? I remember 2 years ago when the Chiefs came to Buffalo in the playoffs. And they ran three tight ends against the Bills. And that was a big reason why the Bills couldn't stop them. Because they put Taron Johnson in the box and said, we're going to run at you. And look, Taron Johnson's an all-pro for what he does. But he's a small guy compared to the rest of the guys on the field a lot of times.
Yeah.
And teams are going to do that. And I think the Bills' response here has been, okay, we're going to have an answer to that.
And that Chiefs playoff game was also the A.J. Klein game.
That's
too.
Correct.
So, like, they were really down numbers at linebacker. What I think is really notable about last week, I don't remember what the numbers were like in the Jets game, but that they're playing three linebackers that much without Matt Milano active, which says, I think, something about how committed they are to doing it.
I'm looking at the now, so 33 snaps for Cam Lewis. The Jets is tough, though, because guys came out. I would like to do math on it, but you're right about that. Yep, you're right. It's a great point. Without Matt Milano, they could still go three linebackers because of Shaq Thompson being on the team right now. And you do have Joe Andreessen, who's a backup, of course. I think they really like Keyonte Jenkins, actually, but unfortunately he was dealing with an injury last week during the game. He's on the practice squad. They could bring him up. I think Keyonte Jenkins is a guy to watch for the future. He could be a guy, I think, that kind of fits that role, actually, for the Bills. He's a guy I thought that flashed during training camp. So I think they feel real good about where they are at linebacker right now and the different options they have against what teams are presenting them.
The Bills saw Kansas City whip out three tight ends in that playoff game and went into the offseason thinking, you know, we should do that. And the Bills have been like this heavy team, you know, for most of the time since. Is there anything about the Bills offensively that you think they should want to improve? Anything?
Yeah, I do think that they should. I mean, improve is interesting because I think it's a conscious choice. And not that they're bad at it, but they haven't really done it. And that is, you know, push the ball downfield a little bit. And that's something that Josh Allen even addressed when being asked about it this week. And he's like, hey, we're going to throw to the open guy and we're winning games. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't disagree. But I think we'd all love to see a little bit of that, right? And say, do you have the ability to do it? And when it presents itself, take those chances. I just can't say they presented themselves, right? We don't know that.
Yeah.
You're looking at the film. It's, you know, teams making sure that Josh Allen's not going to beat them over the top. But that's why James Cook also has ability to run sometimes. They go light in the box. They play too high shells. And there's a lot of stuff that I've seen where, yes, there are guys down the field that come open where Josh could take a shot down to them. But he's already predetermined, I'm taking an easy 5 yards here. I'm just dumping it down to James Cook. It's 5 yards, and I'm going to second and four and second and five. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. When you're scoring 30 points a game, it's hard for me to argue with it, right?
Right.
But when you talk about improvement, I don't know if that's the word I'd use, Mike, but I would say maybe try. It'd be great to come out of a game and go, oh boy, the deep ball was there too. Now this team's going to be really tough to defend because everybody sees that.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I think I would like to see that is because I think it might be evidence of them winning on the outside or just winning, winning quickly enough, you know?
Yes.
Because I think it's easy to look at a play that, you know, Allen, he has to operate, any quarterback does. They got to make a choice so fast that if you know, first read, second read, you know, and maybe the guy breaks open, but it takes us a step longer and he's already moved on to settling for the easy 6 yards, then, you know, that'll get you. So there's got to be some evidence of them winning downfield. And, like, I don't know, my eyeballs in the Miami game, being in the stadium like I was for the first time in a while, even though I was not in the press box, just sitting in the stands, I felt like their passing plays, he's back there, and I got Miami guys that are just too close to receivers that, you know, end up, I'm going to just throw it over here for the easy layup.
Yeah, I totally get that, and I agree that there were times where you felt that maybe those guys, you know, if they could get a little more separation, there'd be a little bit more opportunity to throw the ball. And then, you know, that's where James Cook comes in and Ty Johnson comes in, and the Bills have done a good job of saying, okay, well, if that's the case, we'll do that. So, yeah, I'd like to see that be a little bit better for the Bills.
Has anyone, either Brady or McDermott, talked about the start to the season Ray Davis has had?
Not specifically. But if you're basically going towards that, it hasn't really been great as far as his numbers.
Yep.
I'd agree. You know, after the nice rookie year Ray had, when he would come in and he'd be a real nice backup 1-2 combination with James Cook and Ty Johnson there as well. I think the first three games so far, you'd probably want to see a little bit more of that to feel more comfortable if something were to happen to James and you have to rely on Ray a little bit more.
Baltimore, Kansas City, Sal. What kind of game do you see? And I'm sure you've been engaging in, you know, the fan conversations about what's better for the Bills. I can't really get to an answer. I think you can look at it, you know, either way. Maybe Kansas City's a little bit more likely to be buried if they lose, but it's still so early. And I don't know, like the most satisfying season the Bills could have would include a win over Kansas City in the playoffs. So you could tie yourself up. What kind of game do you see and what, I guess, would you like to see?
Yeah, if we could do the Back to the Future thing, go and get the Sports Almanac and know who wins the Bills-Chiefs game, maybe we'd have a better answer on that. I'm not sure. Might still not, because it could go either way. You twist yourself up. What I found very interesting, though, and not surprising, the math is the math, and we can all debate what's better on the math, but there's just a lot of Bills fans who say, I don't care about the math. Beat Kansas City, right? They just want that.
Right.
That's what they want. It's emotional for people, and I totally get that part of it. So it might be what people think about the rest of their schedule, where they're going to finish. I think Kansas City's back is against the wall here. Their offense has not played well so far, but you know, Baltimore's defense has allowed some big plays. They've allowed teams to move the ball in them. So I think Kansas City's offense might show better in this game. And I think that, you know, the Ravens, with all of their firepower, should probably be able to, you know, score some points as well, although Kansas City's defense played well. So maybe a higher scoring game than what Kansas City's been in. That's what I would expect maybe here. Not sure if I have a prediction. I think that anytime I think Kansas City is kind of dead and buried, they come alive and they win a game. And you know, that could be the case here, especially being at Arrowhead at a 4:25 start.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk next, I guess, on Monday or soon thereafter.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
The Friday Drive at 5 with Sal, brought to you by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online, northtownhyundai.com. By Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
Did you think I've almost forgot the outlet liquor read. I know it by heart. I never have to read it, but I looked up at the golf while I was at DeChambeau lining up a putt, and I'm just distracted enough that I just, what am I saying right now?
So yes.
That's what just happened.
That all makes sense.
You shot me a look like, are you okay over there?
That all makes sense. DeChambeau missed. Fleetwood made.
Yep.
Two down. USA two down with two left. It's 4-2 Europe. That match is dormy, so half is the best we can do. And then I think the other match is tied. The McIlroy match.
Right, it is. Yes.
Because Cantlay missed like a three-footer.
Yes, that happened right at the beginning of the segment with Sal. They have, what, three holes to go? Four holes to go.
They're on 14.
Right. Oh, they're still playing 14. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, Brian and I talked, and Brian's like, it'll be over by six, so six will work. I'm not sure this match will be over by six, but we'll see what we can do. Picks next. Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you?
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Well, I've been a little lucky so far this year, taking a lead over Bulldog in the picks. And I say that for two reasons. One, you have to be lucky to be on the plus side with picks.
Yep.
Of course there has to be luck. The other is, though, like usually I'm thinking of like up to seven games, NFL games, to pick four from, and I've just picked the right ones. I remember a couple of weeks already thinking like, oh, I was wrong about that, and then, oh, I didn't choose it.
Actually pick that one, yeah.
Yes. So if we did seven games a week, I'd probably be like 500 or worse. I picked the right ones.
Well, you're 11-6-2. I mean, that's a righteous record. I am 9-9-1. So I had a very winless week for me. There was no funds replenished in the account. If you were paying attention to our picks, which you definitely should not be doing. But 0-4-1. I got to push. I thought I went 0-5 when I got in here on Monday. I think I said I didn't get a single win because. I didn't like think about what numbers we had everything at, but by Sunday I had the Broncos plus 2.5. And when they lost, I thought, oh, well, you know, I didn't get it, but they covered. Well, they pushed. I mean, exactly. Right.
I would say you certainly don't have to pay attention to the picks, but we have given out high value prop bets on the Thursday night games.
The last 2 weeks, yeah.
And I remember last year how I got ahead was like I was never losing on Thursday night. I don't remember if I picked Washington or Green Bay in week 2, but I know I have all the other ones right. The Dolphins. right. even last week. So Thursday night's been kind of my wheelhouse. I say that now. All right, picks for week four. Pick one, Titans. I like getting the extra half point, 7.5 at Houston. If I lose, I lose. But let's see Houston score 24 points in a game, which is almost double what they've scored through 3 weeks. Not quite. Let's see them do it. Maybe Tennessee can fall into a couple of touchdowns and make Houston have to score to cover that number. 7.5 with the Titans at the Texans. At the same time, Houston and Survivor is tempting.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, got to pick somebody.
Did I tell you, I should have mentioned this to Joe or Sam, but it's Joe's league. It didn't come up yesterday. You know how we complain, sorry to wedge this into picks, mm-hmm. but it just came up, you mentioned Survivor. Yeah, well, often earlier today even, you were joking about your emails, and I'm like, yeah, I really need an email from Amazon asking me how I like the gas cap key I got for the boat. Like, what are we doing here? One of these, like, recurring emails, I get one every day until I make a pick, is from the Splash, the company that runs yes. the pools Splash that Sports. Joe is in. Right.
Yes.
Last Sunday, we walked into Moore Room after having played golf, going home, cleaning up, walked in the door at Moore Room at like 1:03. And I sat down at the bar and ordered a beer and looked at my phone, and there's an email. So, of course, I looked to see what it was.
Right, because you have zero unread emails.
It was a reminder that you need to make your picks. I mean, right at the gun. I'm like, I got to pick it. And I did, and I won.
That's just in time.
Just in time. So as annoyed as you can get about the flood of emails that are seemingly useless, well, there was one that I was thankful to get. Mostly, I usually just ignore those emails and go, I'll get to it. I forgot until 1:03 for to make a pick in Survivor.
For my taste, those emails come with a little bit too much urgency. Like on Tuesday, you'll get one. You haven't made your picks yet. The deadline is literally Sunday.
Which is why I ignore them. And then, like, luckily, I happened to look at my phone at the precise moment I needed to and went like, I better pick a game.
You better pick a game.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you remember this week. I will take the Giants again. This is my third crack at the Giants. 6.5 at home against the Chargers. You know what we're not talking about this year? West Coast to East Coast, 1 o'clock games. LA, you know, I'm impressed. Fine. The Giants, they're going to Jackson Dart. That could be bad. I mean, it could get worse with a rookie quarterback against a good Chargers defense and apparently well-schemed. But I think, like, you're sort of, the Dart thing changes it a little bit. This just feels like a buster spot. Like, the Giants were incapable of doing anything really on offense against the Chiefs. And I'll take 6.5 with the home team against a West Coast team playing at 10 a.m. Pacific. Overthinking it, maybe. 3. I'm going to cross it off. Because I had the same question last week and I lost on it. How do you not take San Francisco? I'm crossing it off.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want to take Jacksonville either, but how do you not take San Francisco -3? Said the same thing last week. How do you not take San Francisco -2.5 against Arizona? It took them 1.5 hours to get a first down. They won by 1. They pulled it out. I'll take my Ravens 2.5 at Kansas City. Don't really love it. Not easy to picture Baltimore winning a close game. I don't think it has to be a close game.
Right.
Chiefs can't run it. Maybe Xavier Worthy makes a big difference. I think that's saying a lot to think that he will. And Baltimore, you know, Kansas City's defense isn't bad. I mean, maybe they're even good. But I feel like the Ravens will get their points. Don't even hate the under here. What did Sam say? 48.5?
I think that's right. Yeah.
26-10, maybe. Could the Ravens win a game like that at Arrowhead? The Bills have done it. Baltimore -2.5. Interesting to me that the odds makers, or the line, I should say, has not moved toward Kansas City. You know, you have to give points with Baltimore, even after their loss. Pick 4, I'll take the Packers Sunday night at Dallas. Coming off a loss, Green Bay at Cleveland, a little bit bustery there. But Dallas's defense has done nothing this year. The Parsons angle, I want to see Green Bay light it up there. And maybe Dallas can hang in there. We get a shootout 38-24. Like the playoff game was, Green Bay kind of blew them out, but Dallas got their numbers. Would love to see that for a for fantasy purposes. And I'll take Penn State. We talked about the Penn State-Oregon game with Sam. I've watched their show all week. They spent a lot of time on that game, more than any other. And the point Sam made on our show and has made a lot this week is the same, which is if it gets to three, bettors are going to hammer Penn State. It's 3.5. And the reason you're not supposed to want to bet Penn State is because their coach has a reputation for losing big games. Is this that big a game? I guess it's pretty big, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'll take Penn State minus 3.5.
All right. Well, I'm going to be a little boring here. I'm not. I don't have a pool of extra games to pick from. it was one of these weeks where I just, you know, I got to my four and went, phew. For the NFL games, college, obviously, there's some trillion games to pick from. So I won't have any trouble there. But I'm going to roll with you on your last two. I'm taking the Packers 2 minus the 6.5. And I love the Ravens over the Chiefs.
You do?
I really do. That was the first game that, you know, you want to know about my process? I look at the whole board and I wait for something to jump out. And I got all the way down there before something went ooh for me. Where I went ooh, actually, the computer doesn't go ooh. That's me. So that I love the Ravens minus the 2.5. I just don't think the Chiefs. The Ravens defense has been giving up points to everybody but Cleveland. I don't know how much better on offense right now are the Chiefs in Cleveland. Like they can't do anything. It seems so. I like Baltimore pretty comfortably, I think. So no problem with the 2.5.
Interesting.
And Packers, same deal. I don't think, they had a down week, tough defense they played, lost that game. I think they'll bounce back big. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
I just think that the Dallas team is going to have a hard time with Parsons, I think. Like, especially if he gets off early, I just think they could even be demoralized in the game. Like, we traded this guy? What are we doing over here again? So I'm on Green Bay big there. The other two NFL games, I'm gonna give my bias. Last week was confirming priors, right? As I said, and the Colts betting against the Colts, a big number against Tennessee was one of those picks. I'm gonna try that one more time, and then I will stand down on Indiana Jones and the Colts. If they go to L.A. and beat the Rams or even just cover, that's all I really need. But, I mean, if they win the game, that would really be something. I like the Rams. Minus 3.5 is what I have there.
Yep.
I just think that's a big step up. The Colts have done great, but it's been Miami, a fluky Denver win, and Tennessee. I think the Rams are a different cut there. So I'll trust L.A. to cover the 3.5 hosting Indianapolis. I love Tampa plus 3.5 hosting the Eagles. Hmm. The Eagles have had tough games with them, and they're getting Wirfs back. They're getting Godwin back. I love Baker Mayfield, so I'll take 3.5 points and Tampa at home against Philly.
No Evans.
No Evans. By the way. That's right. But Godwin sort of mitigates that to some different roles, but still.
The answer is always Igbuka.
Right.
I think.
Right. And I did. You'll take my word for it. I had Alabama plus the 2.5 at Georgia before Sam Panayotovich came on at 3:30 and said, like, bang Alabama. So I'm gonna roll with the Tide. I did not mean to do that. It just happened that way.
Go Tide.
I'm gonna ride with the Tide. I don't like any of this. Alabama plus 2.5 at Georgia.
Go Tide, like the commercial.
Go Tide.
Where the guy gets it wrong as they're coming off the bus. And he apparently is just there alone saying, Go Tide. And then there's a gorgeous woman to his right correcting him. And then she likes him. Oh, well, that's an ad for you right there. That's perfectly believable. Brian coming up at 6 from Bethpage. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.